I am Lauren Diepenbrock. I am the citrus extension entomology specialist here at the Citrus Research Education Center, and I am starting to work on citrus pest management programs.
You talked about some recent production shifts, like an emphasis on tree health and some reduction in insecticide use. What impact is that going to have on the industry?
Hopefully positive. I think that the focus on tree health is a really good way to be going about dealing with HLB. I mean, a healthier tree can, in theory, withstand a little bit of damage and a little bit more stress. We don't know what it's going to mean for pest management. So that's kind of the whole purpose of having this workshop today, is we have seen some pests start to come back in fields that have been laying off of sprays, and it's not necessarily the worst thing because we probably have parasitoids and predators out there that will consume them over time, but we don't know the immediate effect. I think long-term it'll actually be a very good thing. It's just going to take probably a couple bumps and bruises along the way to get there.
I think you said some of the things that might return would be like scales and mealybugs?
Yeah, actually, so we've laid off some of the insecticide applications in parts of our groves on station, and we have several species of scales that have established. We have mealybugs. We have several mites back there. So it's interesting from, you know, my perspective as an entomologist, but it could be scary for growers. And so, you know, we want to prepare them to know what they have when they see it and to be able to manage what they have.
You discussed some management practices, like targeting pests when they become a problem.
Yeah, sometimes we can actually cause more problems if we treat too soon or if we treat without a need for it. And those are flare-ups of other pests. They're environmental impacts that we don't intend to have. You can accidentally kill off the natural enemies, the things that eat the bad bugs. And so ideally, if we know something about when pests are present, when they're abundant, how their population grows, we can actually target those periods and apply insecticides at those points, or miticides at those points in time, so we can manage those pests and keep them at a reasonable level instead of at a damaging level.
And it's good for growers to have established a threshold where they want to do control.
Yes, actually, we don't have standard thresholds for a lot of our pests. So growers kind of need to know what they deem is acceptable for now until we have full thresholds. So things like scales, low population of scales, probably not going to be a problem. In some groves, there's actually really good predation going on those scales, and you can see evidence of it. And, you know, those are fields where they're not spraying a whole heck of a lot, and they're able to actually maintain predators, which is fantastic. But if you get a high population, you're going to have a lot of sooty mold development, and that's really bad for your fruit and for your tree growth. So that's a point where you need to think about managing. If you have a high population of scales, you're going to have to do some type of management method.
You talked a little about some new options like cover crops.
Yeah, so some of our growers have been leading the way on this, actually. They've been exploring cover crop varieties that might work well in citrus, in part inspired by the work of Sarah Strauss with her work with soil microbiota. Her work is really interesting, where she's planted certain known crops or cover crops and then gone back and look at how the soil communities have reacted. And so these growers are taking that type of information and using it of, maybe I can make that soil better for those microbes. Maybe I can make it better for my tree. Maybe I can make it better for pest management. So there's a lot of questions. There's always that big unknown of what's going to happen, what pests are going to develop, what concerns we're going to have, how we're going to change things. But these guys are taking the risk and they're trying it. And so we're learning with them, which is fantastic.
A few pests you discussed that are possibly on the radar: the brown citrus aphid, which is the vector of citrus trastaza virus. We haven't heard about it in a few years.
Yeah, so we have the aphid. It's around. You can find it all over the place. And it, as of itself, is not a huge problem at low levels. At high levels, it'll create our lovely sooty mold problem. But in the past, it was a vector for a virus, the citrus trastaza virus. And we have been able to remediate that problem by getting rid of the virus. And it's no longer in our system locally. So as long as the virus isn't here, the brown aphid is not a huge concern. If the virus shows back up, then the brown aphid becomes a concern. So it's just one of those things to know what you have, know what's out there, and be aware of what's going on in your neighboring areas.
You talked about the false spider mite.
Yes, Brevipalpus. Brevipalpus is the vector for citrus leprosus virus, and it is present currently. I just found out today that it's also in Texas, but we know that it is in Mexico and in South America, and I think it's only a limited range in Texas from what the conversation was earlier. I need to track down the reference and probably have a conversation with our counterpart out there. But we do have the mite. We have several species of that mite will transfer this virus, but we do have those mites present. We had live ones here for people to see and to be able to identify. So just knowing we have the mite and knowing what the symptoms look like, which is really challenging because the symptoms for leprosis look a lot like canker. So that could be very confusing. So it's one of those things where if people are concerned about it or we start noticing it, things start popping up, it's just going to be an ongoing conversation between Extension Science and our growers.
Several types of fruit flies. We haven't heard a lot about them in recent years, but they're always a potential concern.
Yeah, we've had some catches of medfly and carafly, thank you. We've had some catches in the last few years that have been documented by DPI. They do a great job of remediating. There are plans out there for actions if you have problems with them. So they have a whole program outlined on their website, which if anybody's worried about them, I highly recommend reading the literature that they've posted. It's very user-friendly. It's very easy to follow. But those are things you have to worry about it with importing and exporting produce. You know, what are we bringing in? What are we sending out? Other countries have protocols for their quarantines. We have quarantines. But those are pests of concern. They can really do a lot of damage if they happen to establish in your field.
Is there anything you'd like to add about pests on the horizon?
Mostly, you know, if people have questions, please reach out to us. We're more than willing to help figure out what's going on in their field, help them create a management plan. You might have something that we don't even know yet, and that's totally fine. Let us know. Send us pictures, call us, email us. Myself and the other scientists here, we want to do good work. We want to be able to help people.
For Southeast AgNet, I'm Ernie Neff.